श्रेयात प्रभार वै गुण संग्रहे चया। My dear highly glorified Lord, if one in the association of pure devotees hears even once the glories of your activities, he does not, unless he is nothing but an animal, give up the association of devotees. For no intelligent person would be so careless as to leave their association. The perfection of chanting and hearing about your glories was accepted even by the goddess of fortune, who desired to hear of your unlimited activities and transcendental glories. Tonight we are reading from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport that the association of devotees, Arya Sangam, is the most important factor in this world. The word Arya Sangam refers to the association of those who are striving to make spiritual progress. Historians grossly misunderstand the true root of the nomenclature Aryan. It is said that it was the Aryans who were the real founders of the Vedic civilization. But an Aryan is not a race based on certain seminal bloodlines, but anyone who is sincerely striving to advance in spiritual life according to the principles which are given in the Vedic literatures, that person is truly an Aryan. And such Arya Sangam, association with those spiritually minded people, is the most important factor in all of this world. There is nothing so precious, because through such sadhu satsang, the doors to freedom from all suffering and entrance into the realm of pure devotion are opened in our lives. And without such association, it is simply impossible. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Goy, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That even a single moment's association with those great devotees who are striving to represent the eternal truth, one can achieve the supreme perfection of life. And what is the supreme perfection of life? It is not simply to acquire some temporary facilities in the form of wealth, health, family arrangements, power, anything like that. Because there's nothing perfect about any of the transient things of this world. Because perfection is that it was is what is connected to the source of perfection, and that is Krishna. So the perfection of our consciousness, the perfection of all existence, is to reconnect everything we do with the source of everything, or Krishna. Because that consciousness creates a benediction in our life that is eternal, not a benediction that is stolen by the power of material energy in due course of time. How this verse is being spoken is wonderfully interesting, very enjoyable story, and at the same time, most instructive. You see, at one time, there was a king named Vena. He was the son of Anga Maharaj. Anga was a great devotee. He was the king of the world, and whatever activities he performed were done in devotional service to the Lord. And he would not do anything unless it was with the blessings and the sanction of the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. Because you see, in civilized society, however wealthy or powerful one may be, a person is never supposed to be egoistic. Actual civilization is a civilization where whoever you are, your real quality is that of humility and your willingness to subordinate to God-conscious people. That is the actual characteristic of culture. A cultured man is someone who is very humble, however successful he may be, and never thinking himself to know, but to use his creative intelligence under the guidance of and with the blessings of those saintly persons who are deeply living according to the scriptures. So Maharaj Anga was such a king. But somehow or other, it is a long story, but we will not go into details. He had a son who was a descendant of death personified. And he was cruel. He was merciless. He was obscene in everything he would do. Even as a child, he would murder his playmates after torturing them. And his father was such a gentle, kind, compassionate person. So we must know that the will of providence is sometimes very inconceivable. Sometimes when we do good, we expect good. Because generally that is the law of karma. But sometimes it is a great mystery how destiny works, because it is very intricate and complex. But sometimes, even if we do very good, we get the worst of everything. But if we're devotees of the Lord, we're able to understand that nothing is bad, because everything is coming for a purpose. So at first, Maharaj Anga was really frustrated, because this son of his was not only ruining his reputation, but was ruining the reputation of his whole dynasty. It's one thing when we are insulted, but when all of our forefathers who we represent are insulted, that's very painful. Maharaj Anga was a descendant of Swayambhuva Manu, Maharaj Uttanapada, Dhruva Maharaj, such a line of great Mahabhagavats. And here, his only son, who was the Yuvaraj to be the next king, he was a cheater, an exploiter, a murderer. He absolutely despised the Brahmins, the sadhus, and all religious principles. So Maharaj Anga was very sad, very frustrated, as a soft-hearted devotee would naturally be. But ultimately, he became enlivened He was thinking, if I had a good son, I would never disentangle myself from all the pleasures of my situation as the opulent king of the world. But now I have no attraction for anything of this world. I have no prestige left. Everything's gone. So he just left for the forest and immersed his consciousness perfectly according to his forefathers' examples in the loving service of the Lord, always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, continuously chanting the names of Krishna, and he perfected his life. And he realized that Krishna will take care. We are not the doers. Sometimes we think we are. And Krishna does take care. But how he takes care, that is his business, not ours. Our business is to just live in harmony with his desire. So Maharaj Anga became king, and he created such a disturbance that ultimately the most peaceful, loving, compassionate, nonviolent Brahmins saw that he was creating such havoc and such misery that by the chanting of mantras, they removed his soul from his body. But then things got worse, because as it is said, a blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. A bad king may exploit, but no king. There's no law and order at all. So ultimately, they churned his body. And from his thighs, all of the sinful nature of Vena came out in the form of a small creature named Bahuka. And then the Brahmins, by their mystic powers, churning his arms, the partial expansion, Shaktivesh avatar of Lord Vishnu himself, appeared, along with his eternal consort, Prithu Maharaj and Arachi. And after this wonderful king appeared, the reservoir of all good fortune, the great souls began to glorify him with so many words of prayer. And Maharaj Prithu, being an actually cultured divine personality, he said, "Why are you praising me? I've just been born. I haven't done anything yet." It is explained that materialistic people, they love to hear themselves glorified even when they are utterly unworthy of such glorification. But saintly people, even though they are very much worthy, it very much disturbs them to hear glorification of themselves. Why? Because such a devotee, whatever he can do, he knows that the credit is never his. The credit belongs to Krishna and those messengers of Krishna whose blessings our life is supported by. So even when a saintly person is glorified or praised, he doesn't like it, so he has to do something with it. So he just gives it to his guru to do it where real credit is due. And of course, no proper guru will accept praise. Ultimately, they will give it to their guru and it will go to Krishna, because Krishna is ultimately the only person truly worthy of praise, because he is the cause of all causes. He is the source of all mercy. He is the source of everything. So Maharaj Prithu, he saw there was a great famine people were starving. And out of his kindness, out of his love and his power, he arranged through his relationship with Mother Earth herself that all gifts and opulences for the peaceful survival of a God-conscious civilization were provided. And it is explained that great personalities, when they perform sacrifices, they perform sacrifices for the betterment of other living beings, not just for themselves, because they know the greatest service to God is to help others on the spiritual path. Of course, in this age of Kali Yuga, there is only one sacrifice that is recommended. All other sacrifices are outdated. They are impractical and virtually useless. And that sacrifice is the chanting of the holy names of God. Because through the chanting of the Lord's name, we invoke the presence of the Lord who is within his name to purify and give the ultimate welfare to the whole society. And in this sacrifice of chanting God's name, there is no need for extraordinary learned Brahmins to chant various invocative mantras. You see, other yajnas, if the Brahmin recites any syllable in the wrong meter or with the wrong pronunciation, the whole sacrifice is spoiled. And rather than getting benediction from it, it becomes a curse. Sometimes there was the Gomedha Yagya and the Ashwamedha Yagya, where after days and days and days of oblations and mantras and various forms of rituals, the culmination is you put a horse on the sacrificial altar. And if every single item was done absolutely perfectly, then you take an old horse, he's killed, but immediately in front of everyone's eyes, the horse comes back alive with a young, healthy, strong body. Who can do this today? In Kali Yuga, it is impossible. But there is even greater potency and greater benefits in this age when even simple people, even children, even uneducated, even people from other lands, from any caste, what to speak of very pure and saintly Brahmins. Anyone who lives according to the principle of a humble servant of the Lord and come together to chant the holy name, it has so much power to purify and rectify the condition of the world. Jagyai Sankirtanaya. The Bhagavatam says those who are intelligent in this Kali Yuga, they engage in this yajna, this sacrifice of Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names. But Prithu Maharaj, following the principles of the time and circumstance, he was performing the Ashwamedha Yajna. Very difficult. In the history of the world, it is explained that only Indra himself was able to perform 100 of such yajnas. Prithu Maharaj effortlessly, although it is such a massive, massive endeavor, because of his purity and the grace of the Supreme that was within him and upon him, He performed 99 such yajñas. And then he commenced to perform number 100. And at that time, Indra, all respect to that great and celebrated personality, but somehow or other, he became fearful and envious that this king is going to surpass what I have done. He will minimize my reputation. He will break my record. Devotees of the Lord, their natural quality is supposed to be that they find the greatest pleasure in seeing other devotees excelling themselves in their service to the Lord. Even though every devotee is working according to his or her own capacity for the pleasure of the Lord, the devotee isn't doing it for him or herself. The devotee is doing it for Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna's pleased not only when you do something nice, but he's more pleased when everyone does something nice. So if we're doing the best we can, Krishna's pleased. But if someone else is doing the best that they can and it's better than us, that's even more pleasing to Krishna. So devotees are ecstatic when they see others doing wonderful, wonderful service. Because it's not a matter of competition in regard to who's better, who gets more credit. It's a question of competition of how to give more pleasure to Krishna. Of course, this does not mean we should be lazy and think, let everyone else do better than me, and I'll be in ecstasy. This is called Maya. No, we must do everything within our power, with our body, our mind, our words, our very life. And we are hoping everyone will do that. So this is the nature of a real devotee. But sometimes even devotees, when they are put in a position of getting a lot of credit and a lot of glorification on the basis of that credit, they become attached to that. Indra's a devotee, no doubt, but he became attached. So he decided, I have to stop the 100th sacrifice by some means or other. So what he did is he became invisible and he stole the horse. In Atri Muni, he was saying that Indra, such a fool, he stole a horse. And he told the son of Prithu Maharaj, there is your horse. Indra is envious. He is a rascal. He has stolen it. So the son of Prithu Maharaj, with his bows and arrows in the service of his father, chased. And when he approached Indra, Indra took the disguise of a sannyasi, a sadhu, with knotted hair on top and saffron clothes and danda. And Prithu Maharaj's son was very respectful. How can I shoot a saint, a sadhu? So he offered respects to him. And Atri Muni said, what nonsense, you're letting him go? He's a bogus sadhu. He's envious. He's stolen the horse. So then again he attacked, and Indra gave him the horse and disappeared. And then they were about to perform the yajna again, and Indra created darkness and again stole the horse. And again Prithu's son chased after him. And again he disguised himself as another kind of sadhu, sannyasi. Saffron covered with ashes, like that. And again, he became very sentimental. And Atri Muni said,
You must punish him.
So again the horse was taken back. Indra fled. So just as Prithu Maharaj was about to perform the 100th yajna, just at that time, Lord Brahma appeared. Lord Brahma is the original spiritual master of the parampara of Lord Sri Krishna. And Lord Brahma told Prithu Maharaj that you're already such a wonderful devotee. You've already given your life for the welfare of others. You're already endowed with all the qualities of a true Vaishnava. What is the need of this sacrifice for you? What do you need this fame? It's all material anyway. Besides that, you're disturbing Indra so much. He's attached to this prestige. Why should you be attached? Forget. Do not perform this yajna. You've already pleased the Lord. And you will please the Lord more by creating harmony than by getting credit for yourself. So Prithu Maharaj said, all right, I will not perform the yajna. This is very important. Our own Guru Maharaj, before he left this world, he told us that you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another, by how you can harmonize with one another. But amongst devotees, sometimes one devotee becomes attached and becomes envious to some prestige or position, or on a more grassroots level, attached to being right, or attached to getting credit, even for something small. And this can create great conflict. In fact, it can create the deterioration of the fiber of the whole spiritual mission. Like Indra, we try to sabotage each other to maintain our profile, which is an attachment. Sometimes we criticize. Why does somebody criticize another? It's for one of two reasons. Either we genuinely want to help that person, or we genuinely want to protect others from doing something wrong that is exemplified in that person. But that is not really criticism. That is devotional service. But 99% of the times, that is not why our motivation. Our motivation is we want to prove to others that I am better than that devotee. We want credit. We want position. But amongst devotees who understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we're actually ruining our credibility when we criticize others. Amongst materialistic people, they may think, yes, because for them, rumors, gossip, and blasphemy is like ambrosial nectar in their ears. You see, people pay their good money to go to movies and buy magazines all about scandals and gossip because they like it. Such a perverted consciousness. But for a devotee, he's content with hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So when he hears that you're criticizing another devotee, that devotee won't think anything about the person being criticized. He'll just think, you are contaminated. You are off. We're trying to put ourselves in a big position, but it has the opposite effect. Civilized people will just look at you and think, if you're criticizing other Vaishnavas, even if it is true, your criticism
I lose all respect for you. And that's exactly what happens.
But in the meanwhile, conflict. So Prithu Maharaj, he understood the spirit. He was performing these yajnas to please Krishna. And he understood that the greatest way to please Krishna is to not perform this yajna and let Indra have the world record and let me just be forgotten if that is what is necessary, if that's what pleases Krishna. That is cooperation. That is what creates unity. And then Prithu Maharaj, he began to just offer so much praise and respect and gifts to all the saintly persons and all the Brahmins who appeared for the yajna. And Lord Vishnu was so pleased that he actually appeared in the sacrificial arena even though there wasn't even a yajna. Because the greatest sacrifice is the sacrifice of our own personal interests for the pleasure of God, which comes through creating unity and cooperation amongst devotees. So Vishnu appeared along with Indra. And Indra was very much ashamed. He was thinking, I am so fallen, I am so envious, I was just carried away by my emotions and my pride. But now that I see what a real saintly person you are, how detached you are, now I understood the way I should be. Indra sobered up. He became sober, not by Prithu Maharaj attacking him with arrows so he could defeat him. But when Prithu Maharaj took the humble position, then Indra was exposed, and he came, and he went to fall at the feet of Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj just picked him up and embraced him with such love and affection, and he forgave him for all of his offenses. And when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, saw this, that these two personalities had become one in spirit for my pleasure, and all their animosity was gone, he became very pleased. And who did Lord Vishnu give the credit to? Not to Indra, but to Prithu Maharaj. And who ultimately goes down in history as being such a selfish and pure soul? It was Prithu Maharaj. Because he performed the real sacrifice. The sacrifice of his own personal ambitions for the will of the Lord. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, so pleased with Prithu Maharaj for taking such a humble position, he offered him any benediction he would like. He praised Prithu Maharaj with so many wonderful, wonderful, heartfelt words. And at the end, he said, now, please, I can give you anything. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything that exists, the creator of all creators. All material and spiritual energies are under my control. Whatever you desire, I will give to you. You see, for such a humble devotee, who's the servant of the servant of the servant, Krishna is willing to do anything for that devotee. There is a story of one great Vaishnava Acharya, a direct disciple of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Srila Sanatana Goswami. And he was living in Vrindavan. And he was very fond of living just near the Manasa Ganga lake, which is close to Govardhan Hill, in an area called the Chakra Tirtha. It's a very holy place. This Chakra Tirtha is a place where Radha and Krishna and their most intimate associates during the springtime, Basant, they would have wonderful pastimes, Rasa Leela, at Govardhan. Chandra Srovar, Rasa Stali. And each place, Radha Kund, Shama Kund, Kusum Srovar, each place a particular arrangement was made by their associates for Radha and Krishna to enjoy. And at this Chakra Tirtha, Vrinda Devi and the Sakis would arrange a beautiful jhulan or swing to make Radha Krishna very happy by decorating them with flowers and pushing their swing and singing sweet, lovely songs and playing wonderful instruments. And Srimati Radharani from Chakra Tirtha, she would board her little boat. Krishna would disguise himself as a boatman, and that's where she would board the boat from the ghat, which is situated at Chakra Tirtha. So many wonderful spiritual exchanges took place. And Sanatana Goswami, in order to be immersed in assisting the Lord, in assisting in the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna, would reside in a small bhajan kutir at Chakra Tirtha. But he made a vow that as long as he was at Govardhan, he would circumambulate the Govardhan hill every single day. And of course, it is about 24 miles around Govardhan Hill at that time. So years went by and Sanatana became very old. Whether we are devotees or not devotees, our bodies become old. But for a devotee, Krishna accepts whatever we offer to him with love and devotion. So there's no loss in old age. But for a materialistic person, everything's lost because he can't do anything as the years go on. So somehow or other, he would never break his vow because he did this vow for the pleasure of Krishna. And he would just struggle and strain to make that circumambulation every day before he would even eat any prasad. So one day, as he was doing his parikram, very tired, a beautiful young boy, in fact a cowherd boy named Gopinath, approached him and said, "What you are doing?" And Sanatana Goswami, he just made himself so he was hiding all of his tiredness, because he didn't want anyone to feel sorry for him. You know, sometimes we like devotees to feel sorry for us. Sometimes we're doing service and we like people to think, "It's so hard. Do you know how hard it is? Do you know what I have to go through? Do you know how sick I am? Do you know how tired I get? Do you know how much opposition I have? But still I do it somehow or other." We all have that tendency sometimes, especially me. Because we want people to really recognize and appreciate the truth of our glory and our tapasya. But a devotee doesn't like people to think how great he is. So So Sanatan didn't want anyone to think he was tired or suffering. He just, everything's all right. But this young boy, he could understand the heart. Because he was Krishna himself, the Paramatma, in everyone's heart. So he said, please, I request you to follow my instruction. And Sanatan said, all right, I will follow your instruction. What is your instruction? So then the little boy ran to the top of Govardhan Hill. And he picked up one stone for Govardhan Hill, Govardhan Shila. And that stone happened to have his own footprint on it. And he said, every part of Govardhan Hill is none different than the whole of Govardhan Hill. So if you circumambulate this Shila, you get the same credit. It's none different than circumambulating the whole hill. So from this day on, Sanatan, just circumambulate this Shila because you are very old. And Sanatan took the Shila, and as he was going away, he had a divine vision in which that little boy revealed himself to be his most worshipable Lord, the Lord of Sri Radharani, Shyam Sundar, Gopinath. And then Sanatan was feeling that the Lord came and I didn't even recognize him. He was feeling ashamed, but he has given me an instruction, so I must follow this instruction. So in this way, Sanatan Goswami preserved his vow without much difficulty at all. So in this way, the Lord is always attentive to fulfill the innermost desires of his devotees. The Lord is always attentive to serve his devotees and to favor his devotees. Those devotees who humbly serve him without expectation of anything for themselves, they are the ones that purchase the heart of Krishna. So Lord Vishnu promised Prithu Maharaj that I can give you anything because you are my devotee and I am favoring you. Ask for any blessing, any boon. And Prithu Maharaj, like all of the great pure devotees, Mahajano Yena Gata Sabanta, he said, my Lord, you are so kind and merciful, but I want no material benediction from you. I do not even desire liberation or even to merge into your eternal immortal existence. But if you insist on giving me a benediction, this is the one desire that you can fulfill. He asked for the benediction that you give me at least 1 million ears so that I can hear your glories from the mouths of your pure devotees. That is all I desire. Let me eternally, forever, just hear your glories from the mouths of those pure devotees who have given up everything in your loving service. So to hear and chant the glories of the Lord is the perfection of life, and it is also the means to the perfection of life. One time they asked our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, what do you expect to ultimately achieve by all this chanting of the holy names of Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada didn't have to think about giving an answer to that question. So what do we hope to achieve by chanting Hare Krishna? The chanting of Hare Krishna. As Prithu Maharaj. He said, when I chant the holy names with my tongue, I desire many, many, many tongues to taste the unlimited sweetness of your name. And when that name enters into my ears, I desire millions and millions and millions of years to go on hearing. Because Krishna is unlimited. You need unlimited tongues and unlimited ears to keep up with the ever-increasing beauty and sweetness of Krishna's name. And when that name enters into my heart, my mind, my senses are conquered. Conquered by the infinite beauty and loving mercy and sweet rasa of Krishna. And a devotee doesn't want to taste the sweetness of Krishna because he enjoys it. But rather, a real devotee knows that Krishna enjoys seeing us experiencing that taste. So we are willing to accept the ecstasy of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord because that gives Krishna ecstasy. This is a very high level, but this is what we strive for. And we should let nothing come between us and that goal. We should pray for that and strive for that and do our bhajan and sadhana for that. But to hear the glories of the Lord from the mouths of the Lord's devotees is actually the ultimate and greatest fortune in all creation. By hearing his glories and by hearing his names, which contain all of his glories, that should be our true devotion. And then Prithu Maharaj said, but my Lord, ultimately, whatever you think is best for me, that is the only thing I want. And the Supreme Lord Narayan was so pleased with his humble submission and his appreciation of his devotees, that he bestowed all blessings on Prithu Maharaj. And it is explained that Lord Narayan, even though it was time to leave, he didn't want to leave. He became so attached to his devotee. He just wanted to see him and embrace him. So this is the process of actually attracting the heart of the Lord. And it is so much our good fortune that we all have been given the opportunity to understand this most secret of all secrets, this most profound and esoteric of all knowledge, to be in the association of devotees, to learn how to properly associate with such devotees, to be a part of creating unity, love, and trust amongst devotees, to hear the glories of the Lord in that atmosphere, and to perform the supreme yajna of Harinam Sankirtan with such wonderful people is the most supreme benediction in all of creation, and it is ours. We simply accept it. But we must accept it gratefully. A grateful person does not find fault. A grateful person is thankful. That person's heart is willing to receive fortune. And this is the eternal, immortal fortune of the spiritual world. Golokera Premadhana Harinam Sankirtan. The glories of the Lord, the sound of the teachings of the Bhagavatam, and the congregational chanting of the holy names is the gift that Krishna has personally sent from this ultimate highest stratum of spiritual existence into our lives and into our hearts. So let us make our lives perfect by gratefully accepting this precious gift and not allowing anything or anyone, either within or without of ourselves, to jeopardize this great fortune that we have. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki.